The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. This 15th chapter of Luke is all about the lost and found. These two stories are searching for the lost sheep and the coin, and then it is followed up by what's commonly known as the prodigal son, which ends up announcing that that which was lost has been found. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. "Which man of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or, what woman of you, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a little story to help us begin to think about this gospel lesson. Hi, AJ. Welcome. Hi, Sarah and Sophie. Everybody's, some are still wearing their name tags from Sunday school. We had a great, we were busting at the seams today. It was a joy. So, today's stories are about finding something that was lost. And then, have you ever lost something? And yeah? What'd you lose? Did you find it? No. You're still looking. If you did find it, would you be happy? Yes, you would be happy. Here's what happened to me one time, a long time ago. Who's about 8 or 9 years old? How old are you, Andrew? 7. Yeah, you're close enough. When my boy Isaac was 7 or 8, he came to me one day and said, "Dad, I want to go to the YMCA." But I was working on the house. I was painting a room and a project, and I didn't have time. So I said, "Isaac, you're going to have to wait till I'm done. You can't go now." Well, do you think Isaac waited? We'll see. Well, I went on painting, and after about an hour, I got done. And so then I was ready to take Isaac somewhere, and I looked for him. Could I find him? No, I couldn't find him in the house. I was a little worried about it. So I swept the house. I looked in all the rooms. I called out. Couldn't find him. Then I went down to my friend Jim Roos's house and looked, because he had friends over there. Was he there? No. Then I went to Jim Roos's business. Then I went all around the neighborhood. Then finally I thought, where should I go? The YMCA. But I went to the YMCA. Was he there? No, he wasn't there. Was I worried? Yes, I was very, very worried. And then I called Valerie. I said, "We cannot find Isaac." And then I looked and I did all those things again. I was just very, very worried. And finally, You know where he was? He'd fallen asleep and he pulled a whole bunch of pillows over the top of him. He was in the house the whole time. He didn't go to the YMCA on his own. But I was so worried and I'd searched so diligently and I worked so hard to find him. When I finally did, how did I feel? Happy as could be. I bought him ice cream. I took him to the YMCA. We got hot dogs. Pretty good, huh? Was I happy? Yes. The stories today tell us of how happy God is to find us, to find each of you, and particularly if you feel lonely and lost and worried, God in Christ Jesus comes to search you out and promises to be with you, to care for you, to love you, and to send people like parents into your lives to do that as well. What I want you to know today is God is so very, very happy about each one of you and searches each one of you out to care for and to be with. And you know what else? When we've been cared for and searched out, what should we do if somebody is lost? Go find them. So God sends us all to find those who are lost as well. Let's gather around for a prayer if we could. Thank you. Dear God, we give you thanks that you search each of us out to bring us your forgiveness, your love, and your life. We ask your blessing upon these children and all who are gathered here, and we ask you to open our hearts to hear your call and your sending of us to bring good news and to search out those who are lost in the world with care and love. I'll say amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.
It's a weird coincidence that you told that story because today we're going to the YMCA.
It's a weird coincidence that we told that story because you know where they're going today? The YMCA. Yeah. We'll have to do this thing. Yeah. So all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." We could read these first two verses of the lesson and stop and have all we need to know of the story. In fact, we could read these first two lessons and know all we need to know about the Gospel of Luke. Even more, we could read these two verses and know all we need to know about the Bible itself. Okay, I exaggerate. A little. Outcasts, the socially dead, the excluded, sinners, victims, those who are on the wrong side of things, draw near to Jesus. Draw near to be in relationship with Jesus who is sent by God. And Jesus welcomes them, becomes one with them, embraces them in one of the most deep ways that we can do. As I was talking with my confirmands this morning, when we gather, for instance, when they gather at lunch and they invite somebody and gather with them, that's a big deal. That's an important thing. That's their friends. Jesus eats with sinners, welcomes them, gathers them, embraces them. They are included in Jesus' community, his spirit, in his life, in God's life. And that's why Jesus came, to bring this life to the lost. Now, what about Jesus' opponents? These are people of status and power who rule the community. They grumble. They are Jesus' opponents, I think not because they have status and power, but because they do grumble. They are distrustful of Jesus and his mission of opening up God's welcome to all people. They opposed Jesus' program of welcome to all. And by this opposition, they suggest that they see that they put their life in their status. They are threatened by inclusion. They are threatened by Jesus. So I say, without reading any further, don't we know where this is going to end up? Jesus isn't going to stop welcoming those who are lost, those who are in need, those who gather in hope around him. And the powerful, it seems, will not stop grumbling. Unless there is a change of mind. Call it repentance. Unless repentance is involved. But I'll come back to that later on around. Although we might ask, would the crucifixion have happened at all if repentance had taken hold? As I said before reading the lesson, chapter 15 is Luke's gospel. It's all about the lost and found. And it's more than just a casual or a friendly welcome. The story tells us of something deeply more passionate, more committed, more all in, if you will. Jesus' mission is famously summarized not in this lesson, but you remember the story of Zacchaeus climbs the tree, and Jesus says, come on down, today I must eat with you. Another meal story, the lost. And that whole thing ends up that Jesus came to seek and save the lost, often understood to be the summary statement of the Gospel of Luke. What I like about all this is the way Jesus is traveling. We're making a big thing about him being on the way to Jerusalem in the Gospel of Luke, and I must go there. But there's a certain way that Jesus travels, seeking and saving the lost. It's not so much which town or which area or which part of the desert he's in, but that he encounters those who are in need, those who gather around him in prayerful hope of new life. Seeking and saving the lost defines Jesus' path to Jerusalem and to the cross. Maybe more so than most Gospels, and maybe more so than the rest of the Gospel of Luke, this chapter 15 shows that Jesus' mission is a joyful one. Aren't these parables really lifting up the joy of God's finding us in care, in love, in welcome, gathering us around a banquet with the angels and all the ones that we can think of? Rejoice with me is the ending. That's the real ending of the story. Rejoice. But we'll get to that repentance theme, as I said, later on. It's actually an add-on, probably. There's not many scholars that think Jesus actually said that. So why does Luke have it? God has one path in Christ Jesus, to find you. Wherever it is that you are lost, broken, isolated, excluded, overwhelmed by death, overwhelmed by grumbling, either yours, mine, or others. And the audacity of the story of the lost sheep and the coin is God's overwhelming joy, the God of the universe, being in community with us, in relationship, connected, belonging, in life. But the world grumbles. But perhaps then an even greater audacity. But one path leads to the cross. Why? Because that is where the lost are found, including those lost in grumbling. The grumblers lay death upon the lost and excluded. Jesus is one with the lost, bearing their exclusion and death, and raising them in a meal of his own person, his own body, to a meal of salvation and community. This kind of brings me back to the repentance theme that I mentioned as we're kind of popping along here in the parables. As I said, most scholars don't believe that Jesus actually said this at the end of these stories. And when you think about it, it doesn't really even follow. The sheep or the coin, I mean, even if we give some latitude on telling stories, the emphasis isn't on any kind of repentance. The emphasis is on the intention of God and the great joy in finding and in searching. So I almost thought, well, let's just forget about those lines. But repentance is needed. We began today with it. It's appropriate for Jesus' opponents. That line is addressed then to those who grumble. But isn't that all of us at some point? To each of us individually. God is searching for each one however we are lost. And sometimes we are lost in our fear, our grumbling, our selfishness. God rejoices over finding us in those places as well. And those who are opposed change their minds through the gift of forgiveness and the promise of new life. When Jesus finds our hearts in forgiveness and the promise of resurrection life. Today, you've no doubt noticed, is 9/11/2016, 15 years after the horrific incident, one of those about which we all remember where we were. I was coming back from our Tuesday morning Bible study when I heard about it just on Forsyth Boulevard. 9/11, it seems to me, is an example of the deepest kind of loss. And of these years later, the depth of some folks' loss is such that they don't think they could ever be found, ever be retrieved, ever have life again. But they are found in communities of support, where stories are shared, where help is given. It strikes me also that our nation in general feels lost since 9/11, as if we have all come unhinged from our moorings, lost. What has happened is, I think, that finally the majority culture now feels what excluded minorities have felt over the years. But we read these stories today and are reminded that there is joy in our hearts. And there is God's invitation to life, that through Christ Jesus and in his searching, in his care for us, in his diligence to find us, in his willingness to gather with the lost, the sinners, and to become one with us, to bear our loss, our death, we are found and free. But not only found and free, are we not also called to give comfort and peace, as I encourage the children, to those who are in need. So we read the lesson, we read the Gospel of Luke, and we hear Jesus say, take the path. Trust in my way. Trust in Jesus' way. For in finding, you too will be found. Seek and save the lost. Be the resurrection. Amen.